Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. I've been reading through the Bible, breaking the Bible down for all you people in the world and in the body of Christ, and some of you that have one foot in the body of Christ and one foot out. But the Lord has directed me to continue having my the literature that the Lord has given me read over the air so that everybody can see. There are a lot of people that don't know how to read, a lot of people that are incapable of reading, a lot of people that don't have time to read, but they can put a CD or a tape in their vehicle while they're commuting back and forth from their home to their work. I know a lot of people stay up to 2 to 6 and 8 hours a day in their vehicles, so this is a good opportunity for you to be able to hear the gospel. But the literature that we're reading now is part two of The Nations Are Angry. And all the nations are angry at God, because his word instructs them that if they want to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must turn their back on the world. Now, the world government is angry at God, and God is angry at the world government. The Bible says that Satan would make war against God and the saints. And then it also states after that that God would make war with Satan. And I believe that God has called me to wage war legally, spiritually, not with any carnal weapons, but to wage war against Satan and all the people in his administration. And I'm not just talking about the White House, I'm talking about the United Nations, and that are controlled by the Vatican in Rome. The Bible says that Satan's seat is in Rome, the city of the seven hills or the seven mountains. And so we're at that place in the Bible where the Bible also tells us to measure up with the measuring rod, which is the Bible, those that are in the actual churches, in the church gathering places, to measure the people up there with the Word of God, and those that don't measure up, to put them outside. Now, there are so many people that are inside of churches that don't believe that they're in a war. The Apostle Paul knew he was in a war. He said, "I fought a good fight." And the Bible states that we're all called to fight a good fight. People that don't use the word continuously in their daily life and don't want to receive the word of God, but they seem resentful every time that you tell them what the Lord says against what they're doing, they resent it. And that is actually a sign that the ones resenting it are the enemies of God. So the government is taking the Word of God out of the schools and the every place, in the workplace, everywhere. And this is him, Satan, making war with God. And they're taking the Bibles out of, they've taken the Bibles out of schools because they don't want you to read what God wants you to do, and what's going to happen to you if you don't do it. So as long as I'm alive, and as long as I have an open door to witness to you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because what profit would it be for me to not tell you the truth and then possibly die this evening? The Lord would take the breath right out of me for not telling you the truth. Because he knows I know the truth, and he knows that I know that if I don't tell the truth, there would be woe unto me if I preach not this gospel. Because as the Apostle Paul said, that I would wind up to be a castaway, just like all the others that claim to be Christians and are not. Now, President Bush is not a Christian. I pray that he will become a Christian, but no Christian would be in the Vatican. Nor would they say that they're going to do everything the Pope tells them to do, which President Bush says he will do and has been doing. And there isn't any true Christian that would make war against any country using carnal weapons, or to kill, murder people, plan to kill them. And as President Clinton former President Clinton has done. He and Janet Reno, homosexual, lesbian Janet Reno, stated that they take full responsibility for murdering those little children, those babies, and the women and children there. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody against them. I'm saying that we need to preach the gospel to them, and we need to show temperance, that we're not angry enough to do what this man did that they put to death for blowing up in retaliation the city, the actual courthouse in or the federal building in Oklahoma City. So we don't do things like that. We preach the gospel to people, and we tell them that we love you enough to preach the gospel to you, and we love you enough to not take a gun after you like the Catholics do after us. We love you enough not to take you to court on false charges like the Vatican does to us. We love you enough to not try to get you into prison like the Vatican does, or to close down your business or businesses as the Vatican has done with us. No, we're just here to tell you the truth. And if you see us now, you're going to never see us retaliate with guns, bullets, bombs, or any other carnal weapon. But our weapon is spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. We tell you what you're doing wrong and what the Bible says. And then it's up to you to either listen to these tapes, because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and I'm actually going to read it to you, or have it read to you. I don't read because I don't read fast enough, because my eyes are real bad. So I have people read for me things that I've already, God has given me to write. And so, yes, we're at war, but we war lawfully. That means with the Word of God. And there isn't a person that is of the Lord that can lawfully say that it's correct to use atomic warfare, germ warfare, chemical warfare, or any other kind of carnal warfare. If you see people saying, I'm a man of war, and I'm going to, you know, we have more guns, bullets, bombs, and weapons of mass destruction, and we're going to destroy people, and then everyone going to hell says, yay, and they clap their hands. Satan is satisfied. He's sitting on a telephone wire out there clapping his hands and sticking his tongue out at you. And the Bible says that the whole world is deceived except those of us that are really filled with the Spirit and do things the lawful way that the Lord says. But right now, so we're going to be doing this last half of The Nations Are Angry. It's a letter the Lord gave me. And read a letter or two, or maybe three. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, you have anointed me inwardly and many other people. But now, Lord, we're going on the air all over the world, as you know. And you know exactly what you're going to say through me. And I ask, Lord, that the commentaries that I say this evening are not of my own, but from you. Nothing other than what you want to have be said on this program do I want to say. And so, Lord, take my entire mouth, my entire system, my soul and spirit over, and lead, guide, and direct everything I say that you're saying in the name of Jesus. And let souls be saved and the church be edified. Open everyone's spiritual understanding and their eyes, that they're able to see clearly the things that you said would be happening in these last days just before you come back to earth again. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear Pastor Lamo, many thanks for your prayers and literature sent in the past. Many people were blessed and saved and healed. I need more of your heart-changing material. I beg and request, send some Bibles and literature in my language, Telugu.
Sir, you don't need to beg for it. We'd be glad to send it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't beg the Lord, just ask Him. Amen?
Amen.
Ask and you'll receive. He doesn't say, beg and thou shalt receive. Okay? Then what?
pray for us, and we are praying for you, waiting for your kind mail, yours in him, George, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
I believe George already has that literature. Amen. Then what else?
Next letter's from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings to you, your family, and staff in the mighty name of Jesus. This is now the third time I'm writing to you. Thank you very much for the following that you sent to me, Bibles, newsletters, and the Messiah books. They really have an impact on people's lives. I appreciate all you are doing for me and worldwide. I delayed my reply to the last letter because I wanted to have testimonies from those who got your literature, Bibles, and the Messiah. Over 50 heard and were touched by your teachings, including pastors, elders, deacons, and other church leaders. Some of them started writing to you after hearing your teachings, and most of the people who heard your teachings want to attend your services and join your ministry.
Praise the Lord. They're not my teachings, they're the Lord's. I'm just passing them on to everybody. I can't get credit for that. Amen?
Amen.
I get credit for passing it along, and you will too if you distribute it yourself. But God, to God be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
So please help me in every way possible to let them attend your services. They are over 50, and some need Bibles to be distributed to them. Some of them said they are ready to contribute over $20 to your ministry. I will pledge $10 to your ministry.
Well, that'll help out a lot, because we're spending over $1 million a month, and every $20 helps. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't believe we've scratched the surface yet. But, you know, if we had $1,000 million, we'd spend it all on the Lord.
Amen.
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 And a lot more souls would get saved. So we just pray that God will open the door for us to earn more money. And if you want to be blessed, for him to give you some extra cash to send in here so we can get the job done that needs to be done just before the Lord comes back. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I therefore request Bibles, Messiah books, one Knaves compact topical Bible, two videotapes of your preaching, two videos of gospel music from your ministry, 500 newsletters, including copies entitled Being Led by the Spirit, Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit, The Road to Power, Do I Offend You? Are You Ashamed of Me? And many more, as the Holy Spirit prompts you, even God's two witnesses.
Okay, we have to read all those. This pretty soon, as long as you're asking for them, let's do the ones first that people are asking for. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Please help me and God bless you, your son in Christ, Patrick, from Chipata, Zambia, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. There's African people moving into the church now, and many of them are requesting to come in, and we've sent letters for the immigration department to give them leave to come. Praise the Lord. Africans and people from India, we've had them, and we expect to have a lot more. We're looking for more facilities. We need them. Okay, then what?
Next letter's from Burkina Faso, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings with the Father's love in Christ Jesus to you and to all of your loved ones in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I praise the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be used by God in helping to spread the Word of God with you through your Christian literature and magazines in order to win souls for the Lord here in Burkina Faso, where it's dominated by Muslims, Islam, and Catholic, and with the unbelievers, despite of many difficulties. I thank God because your teaching and preaching materials, also with your life testimony, are truly imparting changes spiritually in the life of many that have received your literature and magazines, which you send free of charge, provided hope, inner strength, peace, and encouragement to them all who receive them. To be more specific, the newsletters in French languages, awakening many.
Incidentally, we have a French phone line now. Do you have that phone number, or are they just opening another line now? So we'll be handing that out to you soon, while all you people in France that are unable to speak English, you can call the French line, and they'll be glad to give you more information about our ministry, and also to pray with you and help you in any way that they are spiritually able to do so. All right, then what?
As a distributor of your literature, I am so excited to do it, because it equips me also and gives me inner joy to go for them as an evangelist. I believe it is the seed of the Word of God, and I always pray that wherever it falls, it will produce fruit of winning souls for God. This is my prayer. Recently, I've received a bag of literature twice. May the Lord bless you for the good work you are known for. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Charles from Burkina Faso, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Three very nice letters. Now, this is part two, and I believe that we'll be able to wrap this up this evening of, quote, the nations are angry. The nations are so angry at God and His people that the persecution is coming down fast and furious. But those of us that know we have a heavenly home are not at all worried about it, because we know there's a lot more than this world. This world is crumbling. It's over with. It's been judged. And it's condemned to burn. And everyone in it that is not with the Lord. So I pray that you're going to be saved tonight, those of you out there that are hearing the gospel for the first time, or you haven't been totally convinced by the messages before. I pray, oh Father God, that you get to them tonight for their own sake. Not our sake, but for their sake. Because all we're required to do is to preach the gospel, and if they reject, we still get the same reward for preaching to them, whether they reject or accept. So don't think that you're hurting me if you reject, because you are not. I'm helping myself to all the blessings, because very few people want to preach the true, whole gospel, and so I'll take their rewards. If they don't want them, I'll take them. I'm like Jacob, who wants the blessings. I'm not like Esau, like so many false people today that call themselves Christians. They don't care anything about God's blessing. They don't care about witnessing to people. They don't care about the souls that the Lord died for at Calvary and shed His precious blood for at Calvary, went to hell for, and then rose from the dead, rose out of hell, out of the grave, out of death, and then was seen for 40 days by the brethren, and then ascended into the kingdom of God in a cloud before the eyes of over 500 people. Isn't that something? And when He rose from the dead, many other people in graveyards rose from the dead as well, because the Spirit of God was so powerful to pull Him up out of the grave that it yanked others right out of the dirt on that day. That's something.
Amen.
But why should it seem a thing incredible that God can raise the dead? He's going to raise every one of you up, and He's going to raise all of us up. Everybody that died from the beginning of time until now is going to be raised up from the dead and judged. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting destruction. I pray that everlasting destruction will not be your reward. I pray that your reward will be everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven, with peace and tranquility and all the other things that heaven is too numerous to mention on this one broadcast. Okay, so let's continue with part two.
God turns the mightiest king in the world to a grass-eating ox. Quote, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and...
Now, the Bible, it tells of this Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king and thought he was so high and mighty that he started not keeping God's commandments. So he turned him into an ox, and had him go out eating grass in the fields for a long period of time. And he started growing all kinds of coarse hair on himself and long nails. And then he's talking now to Belshazzar. Go ahead, keep going. So I just want to lay a little groundwork here of who we're talking to. A lot of people, as a matter of fact, most people have never read the Bible. And this is a true documented fact, that this is what happened to this man. And I've seen people turned into beautiful looking people until they look like demons. And I'm sure some of you people that have lived for a while and have been around, you've seen the same thing happen to people. They turn into absolute beasts. Okay, then what?
And for the majesty that he gave him, All people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him.
Right, this is Nebuchadnezzar. Everyone was afraid of him in the world, and he was so big and powerful. Just like, similar to the United Nations today. Amen?
Amen.
And God's going to waste them. They're like so much chaff to the Lord. Waste paper. They're going to burn up. Then what?
Nebuchadnezzar symbolizes the ruler of today's world system. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down.
And that's the same way the Lord is today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
So he'll do the same thing today. I see it happening all the time. Then what?
But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will.
Yeah, and it could be the person that you at least think that God would appoint over his kingdom, over the world. I mean, I was the last person that I ever thought would be called into a ministry, because that was my worst nightmare. Because I thought all preachers and teachers of the Bible were phonies. I never met one that I respected enough to even listen to him. Because I'd maybe listen to him for a few minutes and I could see they were as phony as a 3.5 cent bill. Okay, then what?
And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, God. And this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Unquote. Daniel chapter 5, verses 18 through 28. Belshazzar was mocking God in the same manner as today's world system mocks him, his word, and his people. Daniel's symbolic vision of today's senseless, destructive world system. Later, the prophet Daniel was shown a vision symbolizing today's one-world system, a beast that was, quote, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts, the kingdoms, that were before it, unquote.
In other words, it was different from all the other kingdoms before it. Then what?
That was Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. This evil, insane system will be destroyed by Christ himself, the stone, quote, cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces.
And why was it different from all the other kingdoms? Because it's a worldwide kingdom. The Roman Empire has reached out now to all the nations of the world. Nations, when they, ordinary nations before this, would usually take captives and bring it back to Rome, or to their country to be slaves, but not with Rome. Rome would, what they do is they send ambassadors out to all the different kingdoms to teach them to be like Rome. And that's exactly what's happening here in the United States of America. President Bush has erected shrines in Washington, D.C. If you want documentation on it, I'll send it to you. to the Pope and to Rome. And they send ambassadors everywhere, and everybody must be like Rome. And if people like Iran and Iraq or anybody that does not want to allow the ambassadorship of Rome to come in and make them be like Rome, they will come and bomb them to pieces and send our troops in to take them over and to make them do what Rome does and be like Rome is. And so they don't want to take prisoners over there. They love the serenity of Rome, and they don't want to bring a lot of what they call trash or cattle into their country, but they want to come in here and all over the world and make their countries just like Rome. And that's why it's different than all these other countries that just conquer a country and then take prisoners and bring them into their country. Rome is not like that. It's the same thing with the Lord's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. He wants his people, his ambassadors in this world, and pray the prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so he tells us to preach the kingdom of heaven. We, the ambassadors of heaven, we are. Heaven itself is in us. The kingdom of heaven comes not with observation, but the kingdom of heaven is within, the Bible says, within us, in the human bodies. We're the actual continuation of the Lord's incarnation. And so when we preach the kingdom of heaven, people either believe it or they don't. But what we do is we establish God's kingdom in different pockets all over the world. Maybe 500 over here, 1,000 over here, 200, maybe 5 or 10 in some other place. But this is the kingdom of heaven. And people that will not commit adultery, fornication, they will keep the law of the kingdom, the law of God. And so God is reaching out to and branching out into all the kingdoms that have been made to believe as Rome has done. They've reached out to all the kingdoms and impregnated them with satanic doctrine, with Satan's doctrine. And now it's up to us to go into all the kingdoms of the earth, as he said, for us to go into every nation, amen?
Amen.
Preaching the gospel. Amen. The kingdom of heaven. Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
To preach that we're here now. We, the kingdom of heaven, are here since Christ has ascended and given us the living spirit of himself with his Father by the Spirit. And now we are here to rule as his ambassadors in every nation, every country, every nook and cranny of this earth. So that when the time is finally finished, that the angels will come and reap the harvest of the actual kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, and heaven will come down to earth here. The earth will be burnt to a crisp, even the elements, because God doesn't want any taint in heaven any longer, and then the heaven is tainted because Satan or Lucifer was there, and he turned into Satan there and led one third of the people away. The angels away, rather. And then he came here on earth and tempted Adam and Eve, of course, and they fell away. And since then, everyone has been contaminated with Satan. And now, after all those years, 2,000 years ago, Christ came into the world, the second Adam, to take over the world. And all those that he brings into his kingdom, he has commissioned us to rule with his word and tell them that we're not Democrats, we're not Republicans. We're here from the dictator of the entire universe to tell you that you must do as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the dictator of everything, the whole universe is telling you to do, or you're going to hell and you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So it's strictly up to you. Now we know that the urgency of what the Lord says is not in everybody, because the Bible states that it's foolishness, the gospel is foolishness unto those that perish. And hopefully the gospel is not foolishness to you, O hearer, today, because I am telling you that the kingdom of heaven is happening right now in your ears, because it is the Lord talking to you, and you will repent or you will certainly perish. That's the alternative, and that's not really, in my mind, an alternative. You must get right with the Lord. You must begin being a born of the Spirit kingdom person. Then God makes you a king and a priest to rule on earth. However, even though you're a king, you're still not the King of Kings and the Lord. He is the King of all of us kings and priests, and he's the Lord of all of us lords that he has sent to reign for him, to rule. That was the purpose that God created man in the first place, was to rule the earth, to take power and dominion over it, and every animal, every fowl, every fish, every creeping thing. And now they just surrendered it over to Satan. And so people were the servants of Satan, but now the Lord has come, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's come, and he never sinned to show you people in the world that with the Spirit of God in you, and he will enter you if you ask him to, with the Father by the Spirit, with the triune God in you, you then will have the power to not sin. You will then have the power to let God do his work in and through you. And so, you know, you don't have to be weak and beggarly. You don't have to be a person that makes resolutions at New Year's and then break them the next day or a year later. You have the power in you if you continue in the spiritual realm, reading and praying on a daily basis. It's all yours. So, and then what is going to happen if you don't? Well, it's inevitable. You will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And it's not going to be comfortable there. Your awareness will be much higher pitched there than it is now in this dull human body. The human flesh is not that sensitive, but the spirit is. And if you think heat hurts in your body, no, the body is kind of a cushioned to keep the flame from touching your spirit. But in hell, in the lake of fire, you're naked in the fire, and it burns. It's hurt so much that you gnash on your teeth and chew on your tongue. And I've actually heard the people screaming and the futility of them there, and the frustration of them knowing that they're locked in forever and they're never going to get out. They're so upset with themselves that they didn't believe the gospel. And what are we to do? Well, how are people to be saved? The Bible says God has a certain way that he likes people to get saved, and that is, it pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. So the very means that there is for you to be able to believe and receive the gospel and receive immortality, receive the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, because you can be saved by what you're hearing me say, and you can receive power from what you're hearing me say, rather God saying through me, all right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not that bright, but God is, amen?
Amen.
He's the brightest being in the entire universe. And what he's saying to you now is the truth. Am I God? No, I'm not. But God is talking through me to you. And God is in me, and I am a member of his body, the corporate body of Christ here on earth. So receive the gospel and live. Praise the Lord. Okay, then let's continue on.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold...
These are all different kingdoms, symbolic of different all the different kingdoms. Then what?
Broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors.
So all the different kingdoms that were before the kingdom of heaven came into the world are going to be broken to pieces and ground into powder and be like the chaff from the threshing floor. Amen?
Amen.
And be burnt. So all kingdoms are going to be over with except the kingdom of heaven. And we're here, and we're going to be here forever. So you might as well get used to us. And if you don't do, you know, you're going to do what we say. Here's what we say. If you get saved, you're going to heaven. Now, and that'll happen to you. Now, if you don't, you're going to hell. So that's what we say, too. And it's going to happen to you. What God says is going to happen to you. And you have, because you're a free moral agent, you have an opportunity to either receive the gospel or reject it. Just either receive it or thumb your nose at God and his mercy towards you. All right, keep going.
And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, a great nation.
Now that stone is Christ Jesus. He is the stone, the chief cornerstone of the building of the body of Christ. Every building has a cornerstone, and Christ is the cornerstone. And we, as lively stones, are built upon him. Upon him. Who is him? Christ is the gospel, the word of God. It says so in the first chapter of John, and it says also in the book of Revelation that his name is the word of God. So the actual message is, believe on the word of God and thou shalt be saved. The whole word. Because Christ is the whole word of God. Isn't that simple?
Yes.
Yes, it is. So those are easy instructions to follow. But you must read the scriptures in order to know what to do. Right? And to know whether I'm telling you the truth or not. Okay, go ahead.
And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, a great nation, and yes, filled the whole earth, unquote.
See, like the Lord is filling the whole earth with his kingdom of God now. And what are you to do, poor, wretched politician? Poor, wretched man of Satan? What are you to do? The only thing that you can do to avoid everlasting destruction is to receive God. Don't fight God any longer. Let Christmas trees be called Christmas trees instead of holiday trees, because you're taking Christ out of Christmas. Christ is the one that came into the world and didn't commit any sin. Christ is the one that came into the world and died for your sins. And so it wasn't Holiday that died on the cross and shed his blood for you. It was Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So don't call it a holiday tree, as the demons and devils so I want you to save, but call it Christmas tree. Amen?
Amen.
And call it Christmas, as the birth of Christ. And you'll say, well, he was born on a different day. I don't care what day he was born on. He was born into this world. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God. And you know, people have chosen to honor him on the 25th of December, and that's fine. Christ is honored. But it's not Holiday's birthday. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. Amen?
Amen.
So don't call it a holiday tree. Okay, then what?
That was Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 through 35. This scripture predicted the imminent one-world system's destruction by a stone which symbolizes Jesus, as well as the establishment of Christ's kingdom on earth forevermore.
That's us. That's us, dear brother, dear sister, and you wretch that are not yet saved. That's us. Do you want to be one of us? You'd be silly, you sillies, if you don't. Amen?
Amen.
And all you you people that revel in being a savage, you think it's macho to try to fight God? Why, when in the end you see the Bible says that he'll sling your soul into hell, you'll burn forever, you won't think of being macho there. I never saw anybody that ever was tortured that thought they were macho. Especially when it's going to last forever. When you're in your human body, you can pass out, you can faint, or you can take pain medicine. There is no pharmacy to give you pain medicine, or any doctor feel good, to make you feel good. All those guys are taken far away, and they don't feel so good either, not in hell, in the lake of fire. So the only way to be is a person that joins God. Don't fight him. You can't win. It's impossible. Okay? No one has ever fought against God and won. Did you ever notice the tsunamis and the diseases that the Lord is striking the earth with today, and the hurricanes and the earthquakes? People don't seem to be able to stop them from coming. Dear heart. Okay, then what?
Woe to you who drink water from every fountain, for you shall be consumed and wither away for forsaking the fountain of life.
Right, because what they're doing is learning from every doctrine. That's what it means. It's symbolic. Every fountain means symbolic of other doctrines other than the Bible. Woe unto you. Just study the Bible. Receive it. Okay, then what?
Woe to you who work unrighteousness, deceit, and blasphemy. It will be a memorial against you forever. Woe to you with power who use might to oppose the righteous, for the day of your destruction is coming. Many good days shall come to the righteous on the day of your judgment. Believe this, those of you who are righteous. The sinners shall become a shame, be damned, and perish in the day of unrighteousness. Be it known unto you, sinners, that the Most High is mindful of your destruction. As the Bible repeatedly states, God is a terrorist, and he brags about it. The Apostle Paul stated, quote, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men," unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11.
Yeah. What good would it be for me not to attempt to persuade you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God is a terrorist. He'd tear me to pieces if I didn't. So don't be angry at me. And I'm telling you, it's foolish to be angry at God, because you won't win. It's a no-win situation. It's a no-brainer. Okay, what else?
My fellow inmates, three visions of my beloved deceased wife, saying, quote, "they're angry," unquote, shows both that the visions are truly of the Lord, and that the time of Revelation chapter 11 is near. God's word tells of this day. It also, in the book of Revelation, explains what God is going to do to those who are angry at him, at his word, and at his people.
Well, he is the word. Okay, then what else?
All those who have been angry with God, his word, and his people will say, quote, "to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath, the anger of the Lamb," unquote. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. In chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, we see the very ministry that God stated Susie and I would have. When the dictator says something, it comes to pass, whether anyone likes it or not, no matter how impossible it may seem to the world. Susan and I are the two witnesses of the dictator. God has told us this many times and in many ways with his signs and wonders. I don't know of any people of God who, because of the preaching of the true gospel, are persecuted more by the nations than Susan and I. People are still angry at Sue, even though she is dead. She is the first person I've ever heard of that has not been allowed to rest in peace by the angry leaders of the world and their bondmen and women. In my fellow inmates' three visions, Susie stated, quote, "they're angry, they're angry, they're angry," unquote. The Word of God says that, quote, "the deceived nations are angry," unquote. The Word also states that God's, quote, "wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they, everyone, should be judged," unquote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. He will destroy those who have attempted to trash the Word of God and God's people. They shall be as chaff. They have destroyed the earth by using their own foolish ideas instead of the dictator's wisdom. Another of God's terroristic tactics. In the Bible, God states what he will do to those who despise him, his word, and his people. He states, "Because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh," unquote.
You know, when your fear comes is when you know that you're dying, and you feel your spirit leaving your body in little jolts, and you say, "Oh my God, I'm done. Don't, Lord, don't." And he's going to mock you. He says, "Don't, Lord, don't." He'll say that right back to you. And then you'll feel the spirit leave your body for a second more, and he'll say, "Oh God, don't." And he'll go, "Oh God, don't." Because you mocked him, he's going to mock you. That's what it says in the first chapter of Proverbs. Amen?
Amen.
They say, oh, no, God, have mercy. You'll say, oh, no, God, have mercy. And then he starts laughing at you. You can't play with God. You know, he's not your school teacher that you've been told, and he's not Dr. Spock. Okay? He will spank you eternally. Worse than spank you. It's the worst spanking you'll ever get. You should have been spanked early in life because God said for you to be. You unruly lout. Okay, go ahead.
That was Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 26. Mm-hmm. Here God is saying he will laugh at you when you are dying and going to hell. This is a God that today's preachers don't preach about. This is the real God, not the make-believe one they preach. God says he will mock you when your fear comes. In other words, you will say, oh no, God, and he will mimic your face and say, oh no, God, back to you. You will say, please, God, and he will look at you mockingly and say, please, God, as you are going into the pit of hell. In his love, he warns you that he will laugh at your fear and calamity, meaning that he will, after mocking you, laugh as you go to hell. If you believe God's word, maybe you can see that the God I write of and serve is truly what he says he is. Telling the truth about him is true love. Those who tell you of a make-believe God hate your soul. It is better to find out now who and what God is than to find out immediately after your spirit leaves your body and stands before God in final judgment. Paul stated, quote, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth, unquote, Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. He is not only a God of love, but is also a terrorist to those who do not love him, but are angry at his word and at his people. He is not at all the God your ministers have portrayed. God states, quote, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they, the angry, call upon me, but I will not answer. He, the dictator, promises that he will just mock and laugh, and he cannot lie. What a surprise for those who have been taught that God is Alfred E. Newman, the clown with a perpetual smile. They, those who are angry at God, his word, and his people, shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated, were angry with the true knowledge of God, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised, were angry at all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, God, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Unquote. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 27 through 33. God makes good and evil. Quote, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Unquote. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. God brags about this throughout the entire Bible. He is not ashamed of the way he is. God states that he is a terrorist. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21 states he is, quote, a mighty God and terrible, unquote. He brags about it. He's not ashamed of the way he is. I never could figure out why ministers are ashamed to call God what he calls himself. It always sickens me that people try to make God into somebody that he isn't, as if they are ashamed of the way God is. I love the way God is. I couldn't respect him if he was any other way. I couldn't fear him the way I do or serve him if he was any other way. It is just glorious the way God really is. I love and respect him more than words can explain. Anyone who reads the Bible for themselves will not only see that God gets ticked off, they will see that he destroys people when he gets ticked off. World plagues. The plagues that God destroyed Egypt with in the days of Moses were only a fraction of those which he is about to release on the earth today. Very soon, God will pepper the earth with seven major plagues. The first is recorded to be, quote, hail and fire mingled with blood. These will be cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees will be burnt up, and all the green grass on earth will be burnt up, unquote. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The second plague that shall soon smite planet earth will be, quote, a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea will become blood, and the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life will die, and the third part of the ships will be destroyed, unquote. Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. The third plague will be, quote, a great star falling from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it will fall upon the third part of the rivers of the earth, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, symbolic of bitterness, sorrow, and calamity. And the third part of the waters will become wormwood, and many men will die of the waters, because they will be made bitter, unquote. Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 through 11.
You've certainly seen a similar situation in New Orleans. The water was contaminated. You couldn't drink it. Then what?
The fourth plague shall be when, quote, the third part of the sun will be smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them will be darkened, and the day will not shine for a third part of it, and the night likewise, unquote. Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. The fifth plague will be, quote, a star falling from heaven unto the earth, unquote. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. A star in the Bible is symbolic of an angel or a messenger. There are good angels, good stars, and evil angels, evil stars. This particular star or angel is evil, Satan himself. He will open the bottomless pit. There will arise, quote, a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air will be darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there will come out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them will be given power as the scorpions of the earth have power, unquote. Revelation chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. It will be, quote, commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months.
And the Lord doesn't want you to mix up the mark of the beast, which the government is going to put in your forehead. But the mark of the Lord in the forehead is one that really has put on the mind of Christ. The Lord sees it invisibly. All right.
Amen.
Those that have not filled their mind with Christ, the Word of God, the Lord can see that also, because they will take a mark of the mark of the beast, and it's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you take the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your right hand, then what?
And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Here God's command is to torture those who are angry at God, His Word, His commandments, and His people. This is the real God's idea. This shows that the dictator and his anger are stronger than these people and their anger. God brags about it. The buck stops with God, not with the Pope, Bill Clinton, or Janet Reno. No matter what they say, God
or George Bush, or anybody else for that matter. What else?
No matter what they say, God is not a cult. They are. God, the universe's dictator, accepts all responsibility for all his actions. The sixth plague will be that the Lord will loose the four angels which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men, unquote, Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. One-third of the earth's population will be killed. If the population is 9 billion people, 3 billion will die instantly. If it is 6 billion people, 2 billion will be killed instantly under God's holy just orders. Quote, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, unquote, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. In the New Testament, God commands his people not to harm anyone. He wants to do it all. He brags about it. Again, he takes full responsibility for his actions. God honors two people. Then will come the ministry of the two witnesses in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. They will be given, quote, power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will, unquote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 6. The people of the world will be angry. They will hate these witnesses so much that they will, in celebration, quote, send gifts one to another when they see the dead bodies of these witnesses lying on the streets for 3.5 days, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth with the truth of God's word, unquote, Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. However, after lying dead for 3.5 days on the streets, before the eyes of the entire world, God will raise them up back to life, causing them to ascend into heaven in a cloud. Here God assures the world of hate-mongers, the angry ones, that he loves these two witnesses very much. God brags about them, saying, these are, quote, my two witnesses, unquote, Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Just after God causes the two witnesses to ascend into the kingdom of heaven, quote, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly, unquote, Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. The seventh plague will be a great disappointment to those who are angry at God, his word, and his people. Quote, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever, unquote, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Where will those angry at God, at his word, and at his people be? The word of God plainly states they will be in hell, burning forever. After the two witnesses ascend into heaven, God will show the entire world of hate-mongers, the angry ones, how futile their anger was, and how very much he eternally hates them by releasing another seven plagues, the final ones. Again, the buck really stops with him. He takes full responsibility for everything he does. Why do you suppose the world system wants the removal of every Bible in every school and wants to eliminate those who preach the truth of the Bible? It's because the Bible tells what will happen to everyone, including the nations, who sides with Satan's anger against God, his word, and his people. Their reward will be a permanent hell with no pardon, no release, and no relief. Again, God takes full responsibility for this. In fact, He has enlarged hell to accommodate today's ever-increasing hordes of angry people. A flaming fire is the region at the end of the great earth, a deep abyss with columns of heavenly fire. Here, columns of fire fall beyond measure towards the heights and towards the depths. Beyond the abyss, there is a place which has no firmament of the heaven and no firmly founded earth beneath it. There is no water upon it, and there are no birds there. It is a wasteland, a horrible place. This is a prison for Satan, the fallen angels, the fallen host of heaven, and all those of the earth who have followed them. Those who roll over in the fire are those who transgressed the commandment of the Lord in the beginning of their rising. They did not come forth at their appointed times. God was angry with them. They could not bind Him, but He bound them until the time when their guilt should be consummated. Satan, his angels, and those who follow him shall be in this fiery prison forever. God's strong end-time people. There is an army of God. The two witnesses are two of the chief ones of God who will not under any circumstance be angry at anything that God says or does. They, beyond any shadow of doubt, will spend eternity in heaven. It is written they are true to God until their deaths. He will resurrect them whom He loves, bringing them into heaven with Himself, away from all who hated them for all eternity. The true Christian, he who has the life of God in him, will not let anything in the world separate him from either the life of God or the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God speaks of His people, those who are angry at Satan, his world system, and the destruction he has caused in the world. Quote, "Before them fire devours, the Lord went before Israel as a pillar of fire at night to illuminate their way after delivering them from Egypt with signs and wonders. In this way, Christ is the fire and the light to His end-time Christian army. Behind them a flame blazes. His strong people today are strengthened and propelled by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like a cavalry," unquote, Joel chapter 2, verse 4. Nothing stops God's army. They know that they have the last message given from God to the lost inhabitants of the earth, and nothing can stop them. Quote, "With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops throughout the nations, like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle," unquote. Joel chapter 2, verse 5. They are fully trained, armed, and armored with God's word so that they might fight the war for God against Satan. God's truth is in their mouth. Quote, at the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways. This means they shall walk only as the life of God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit leads them. And they shall not break their ranks. Nothing, not even the anger of all the nations against God, His word, and His people, will cause them to leave the path of righteousness. Unquote. Joel chapter 2, verse 7. They shall not depart from the position in the body of Christ to which they were guided by God Himself, for they have determined in their heart that they will never waver either from God's life or from the work God planned to do in them from before the foundation of the world. They know that there remains but a few moments before the very end. Satan and his people of every nation are angry, quote, "because he knoweth that he hath but a short time," unquote, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Are you angry at God, or are you angry at Satan, at sin, at your lost conditions, at your lusts, and at the corruption in the world? If you love God and despise Satan for hating God, His word, and those that love to do good, then say this prayer so that you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven.
I see our time is up now. So those of you that don't know the Lord, just say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in Your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because Your word says so. Therefore, I know You've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. Contact us on our email or the website.
AlamoMinistries.com.
Okay, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you. Praise the Lord. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of that which the Lord has given me to tell you. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Amen.